wanted to spend some time looking at the man Joshua. Joshua is, as I was thinking about him, really I think is leadership on display. Here is a man who has some amazing characteristics and an amazing leadership in God, and yet we don't know him very well because he had some very big shoes to fill as he took over for Moses once Moses had passed away. And I think looking at Joshua is important because there is a need for godly leadership today. We have a need for godly leadership in our homes, a need for godly leadership amongst our families. And it wasn't long ago I thought it was just exaggeration, but I've come more to accept the numbers that more than half of all marriages end in divorce, and we need godly leadership and godly characteristics taking place in the home. We need, of course, godly leadership in our society. We need people to be able to take a stand for God and to show the light of God at work, to their neighbors, to friends, to any sphere of influence that we have. And what I want to then do is look at how Joshua is able to accomplish all that he was able to do. You think about, can you imagine taking over the job of leading a few million Israelites into the land of Canaan and to conquer those who were in the land? Can you imagine taking over and filling the shoes of one of the greatest leaders to ever be recorded in the book of the Old Testament, all the Old Testament, and say, now you're the one to take his place? And now what I want to begin with is look at Joshua's background then. I think it's important to consider that Joshua did not have an easy beginning. He did not grow up with any silver spoon in his mouth, and he didn't certainly grow up with any life of ease. If you think about it, he was born and raised in slavery, and that was all that he knew. Born down there in Egypt and lived his life there as a young man in Egypt. And if you remember, living down there as a slave was certainly not an easy job, not an easy place to live, not easy circumstances by any means. If you remember, what Exodus records for us is that the Egyptians made their lives bitter with difficult labor and brick and mortar and all kinds of field work. They ruthlessly imposed all of this work on them. And God verified that a couple chapters later in Exodus and said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their suffering. And I think it's interesting to see that. That's what Joshua grew up with. That's the circumstances of Joshua's life as a slave of Egypt, to be born into that situation, and as a young man would have been put into forced labor and would have been treated ruthlessly and oppressed bitterly all that time. And it's interesting that Joshua becomes a man that would be an important leader to God. And what I want to look at this morning is not what he did once he became leader, but what did he do beforehand such that God chose him to be the next leader after Moses. And the first thing that we read about, I think, with Joshua is that he was faithful to God's leadership. And we're going to notice that faithfulness is a really important characteristic in Joshua's life that I believe leads him to be chosen by God. Remember the scene that we have here in Exodus chapter 17. We're going to war against the Amalekites, and we read there, Rephidim, Amalek came and fought against Israel. Moses said to Joshua, select some men for us and go fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the hilltop with God's staff in my hand. Joshua did as Moses had told him and fought against Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. We're told that with Joshua not only here and following all that Moses said, we're told that toward the end of Numbers, Numbers 32:12, that Joshua followed the Lord completely. And what we see in a young man like Joshua, whom I did my best calculations trying to figure out how old was he. I'm pretty confident that he was in his 30s at the time of the Exodus. I'm very, very confident about that, but not absolute. But pretty confident he was in his 30s. And so you think about this young man, and here he is, and he's serving God. When Moses says, I want you to do this, that's what he did. And so by the time you get to the end of Numbers, we're told Joshua followed the Lord completely. And I think that's an important characteristic, especially for us to consider us younger people, is that you don't read about in the Scriptures, and Joshua sowed his wild oats and did whatever he felt like, and then God chose him to be leader. It doesn't work that way. And you see from very early on with Joshua that he is somebody who is going to listen to Moses, that he's going to be helpful to Moses and Aaron and Hur as they're battling, and completely following the Lord as every way that he could. And I think that's important for us, as especially younger people, to think about the example of Joshua, that you and I, we can be useful in our service to God in public ways and in private ways by living a life that shows obedience on every level. And that's what Joshua did. And we don't ever read about in the Scriptures anything more before the book of Joshua, except that Joshua did what was required of him, that Joshua served, Joshua obeyed. And he was right there involved in doing the many tasks that God had given him and was obedient to Moses. And I think it's an impressive picture that when we come to this scene here in Exodus chapter 17, that Moses does not select some of the older captains or generals that you might have wanted to consider to go into battle. But young man Joshua is going to be the leader and take the people of Israel against the Amalekites and stand victorious over them, as the rest of the story would tell. Which goes right along with the second point, is that Joshua is a faithful worker. In everything that we read about leading up to the book that's named after him, we read about how dedicated he was in his work. And what we're going to notice is that he was a godly leader. And being a godly leader, you first have to be a dedicated servant. To one day be the leader, the godly leader that God wants you to be, whether it be in a local church or be the proper godly leader in the home and amongst your family and in the workplace as an example of godly leadership. It all begins by showing dedicated service to God. One thing that is fascinating, we've been doing the book of Exodus on Wednesday night, and I came across something that I'd never come across before. When Moses was going up to the mountain, Joshua went with him. And I just went, whoa. I hadn't really caught that before. And notice the designation that's given to Joshua. He's called an assistant, or some translations, a servant. And so Moses arose with his assistant, and I think even the one translation says his aide, Joshua, and they went up to the mountain. And I'm impressed by that. All the people that Moses could have chosen to be his servant and assistant to help him in the various tasks, why not his brother, and why not Hur or Caleb or many of the other honorable men that would have been in that camp? Joshua is the one. He shows himself to be a faithful worker that Moses takes him up on the mountain. Notice also he has a privileged place. In verse 7 we read, Now Moses took a tent and set it up outside the camp, far away from the camp. He called it the Tent of Meeting. Anyone who wanted to consult the Lord would go to the tent of meeting that was outside the camp. When Moses went out to the tent, all the people would stand up, each one at the door of his tent, and they would watch Moses until he entered the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and remain at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. As all the people saw the pillar of cloud remaining at the entrance of the tent, they would stand up, then bow and worship, each one at the door of his tent. Just painting that scene for a minute, the Tent of Meeting is a place to speak with God. Anytime Moses would go into the Tent of Meeting to speak with God, the pillar of cloud, that had to be so fascinating to watch that, pillar of cloud would come down over the Tent of Meeting. Everybody wasn't just like, yeah, whatever. They all would stand out in front of their tent at the door, and they would just watch this whole scene as Moses would talk with God. And notice what we're told in the next verse. The Lord spoke with Moses face to face, just as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his assistant, the young man Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the inside of the tent. I don't know what Joshua necessarily was doing in there. If he got to talk to God some more at that point, or if he's just taking care of some administrative things inside the tent. But it's interesting that what a privilege of all the people who were going in, could be chosen to go into the tent of meeting with Moses, as Moses would speak to God as if face to face. The only person who could do that, as if he was his friend. You know who's in there with Moses, speaking with God, is Joshua. That's impressive. Young man Joshua, inside the tent. And there he is. And when Moses would leave, he remained in the tent. We are seeing a picture of Joshua as a worker, as a servant, that he was involved in the things that were going on with leading the people of Israel. He was not somebody who was kind of asleep on the sideline, and one day God just kind of went, let's put in Joshua, you know, Moses' time is done. We're seeing a picture of faithfulness and a picture of service in Joshua's life such that he became an obvious choice. That when it was time for Moses to go and another to step in, Joshua was clearly the one to take charge and lead the people into the promised land. And I want us to see that I have a tendency, and I think it's an interesting tendency, I'm not saying it of here, but of other churches where I've grown up and worshipped at, that you'll have, in talking about installing and establishing elderships, you'll have men who will do very minimal service for God for many years of their life, but suddenly they'll get old enough where they seem like they're kind of an elder. You know, they're older and get the gray hair and all that. And then suddenly they're going to now be a leader. And it doesn't work that way. And that's what you see here with Joshua. It wasn't just like, oh, well, now you're getting older, so I guess you're the right one for the job. It was a whole life of service. And you don't just wake up one day and become a leader. You are a dedicated servant early in life, preparing for that day. And that's what Joshua was doing. And I think it's impressive that he understood that. And he wanted to be in there serving. And he didn't just leave the tent and say, oh, well, you know, my time is done. He stayed in the tent and did the work that God had required of him. And so Joshua, from very early on, before the great acts that we read about in the book named after him, is showing great faithfulness. One that scene that you probably know more is about Joshua's faithfulness despite opposition. You have the scene where the people are going to go into the land of Canaan to take the promised land that God has offered them. And so they have sent in 12 spies to see how the opposition looks, to determine whether the land is exactly as was told to them and what it would take to conquer the land. And we are told that 10 of those spies were very concerned and said that we cannot take the land. And there were two who said that they could take the land. We know them as Joshua and Caleb. And we pick up the scene here in their explanation. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who scouted out the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite community, "The land we passed through and explored is an extremely good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us into this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And don't be afraid of the people of the land, for we will devour them. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." While the whole community threatened to stone them, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tent of meeting. I like this scene because you don't have where, okay, gathering the millions of Israelites together, and you can imagine here's the 12 who've scouted out the land, and 10 of them say, you know, boy, they're big. You know, they are taller than us. They're stronger than us. They can really give us a good whooping if we go in there. And you have Joshua and Caleb standing up and saying, look, if God's on our side, God's going to be with us, then everything is going to be fine. But envision the scene of what this is, because verse 10 shows that you're dealing with a hostile crowd. This is not just people, oh yeah, let's listen to one side, listen to the other side. They're threatening to stone Joshua and Caleb. In fact, just one verse before we picked up in this text, We are told that they are already selecting a leader to take them back to Egypt. They've already decided Moses and Aaron are incapable of leading them, and they're going to now appoint a new leader, go back to Egypt, and be done with this whole thing about going to the land of Canaan. And Joshua and Caleb get before that whole congregation who have already decided to overthrow Moses and overthrow Aaron and say, "We can't do that. God is with us if we will only keep Him in our good graces by being obedient to Him. We can conquer this land." Would you do that? Let's think about that. That's an impressive statement of faithfulness on Joshua's part. To go against the majority. And to go against a very strong majority. And I think that's a really impressive characteristic that Joshua clearly shows, is that true leaders don't go with the flow just for the sake of peace. And they don't go along with the majority just because, well, that's what the majority wants, and so that's what we're going to do. Joshua was going to do what was right, make a godly decision, regardless of what everybody else thought. If they went through and took a vote and it was 3 million to 2, that wasn't going to change Joshua to say, we need to go conquer the land. We're not going back to Egypt. And we need to see that that is really impressive. His life was being threatened at this very moment. You imagine standing there as the millions of the congregation there were kind of scrumming around for rocks. And you're standing up saying, no, no. God's with us, let's go take the land. That's impressive leadership. And it's faithfulness even in the face of opposition, even in the face of decisions that are not popular. That's become a troubling scene in our society anymore, is that nobody's willing to make a right decision because it's unpopular. If it's an unpopular decision, that decision simply will not be made. And that's disturbing. We need godly leadership in our society. But we also need that kind of godly leadership in the home to make good, righteous decisions, even though it may not be popular with our friends and neighbors. And it may not be what the majority says you ought to do with your children or with your spouse. We need that kind of godly leadership in the home that says, I'm going to do what's right regardless of what society says. And regardless of what other people think or what other people are going to say, I need to act properly in the home. I'm going to treat my spouse the way they ought to be treated. Treat my children the way they ought to be treated. Give them the sacrifice and the honor that they deserve. We need that in the home. And we need that in our society. We need that every place that we are where we have influence, at work, or at our jobs, and at places that we meet people, that they see that kind of godly leadership in us, that we aren't the kind of people who will kind of test the wind and see which way it's blowing because that's what we're going to do. That the only decisions we ever make are from the Word of God. And we're not going to change based upon what the majority says or what popular opinion is. I think it's impressive. Joshua, 30-some years old, in the teeth of the elders of Israel, in the face of all those Israelites who had seen more than Joshua had seen, took a stand, went against them and said, we're going to go into the land we can conquer. And the fourth thing that I think goes right along with all that is that he was faithful even though he was fearful. It's one of the most interesting things. Now, God says this a lot to a number of different people, the Old and the New Testament, about being strong and courageous, to not be afraid, to be faithful to God and He'll be with you. We see that with Jeremiah, we see it with Ezekiel, we see that with a number of God's leaders. But it is fascinating to me the sheer number of times this has to be said to Joshua. Oh, and I'm going to share them with you. Deuteronomy 1:38. Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he will cause Israel to inherit it. This is God telling Moses what to do to Joshua. God speaking to Moses and says to Moses, Moses, you go encourage Joshua. And he tells him that again. And commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will cross over ahead of the people and enable them to inherit this land that you will see. Tells him again. Moses then summoned Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you will go with this people into the land the Lord swore to give their fathers. you will enable them to take possession of it. A couple of verses later, the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I swore them, and I will be with you. And then you get into the book of Joshua. Be strong and courageous, for I will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you think Joshua was nervous about this? It's amazing to me how often that said, the Lord tells Moses, Moses, go encourage Joshua. Go tell him be strong and courageous. He's going to be able to take the land. Just as Moses is about to die and they're at the end of Deuteronomy, what does Moses say? He pulls Joshua over here and he tells Joshua, Joshua, be strong and courageous before all the congregation. He's going to lead you into the land. We turn over to the book of Joshua. What do we read? God telling Joshua, be strong and courageous. And then I love this last one. Here's God almost expressing it to Joshua. Haven't I commanded you? Haven't I told you? Be strong, be courageous. Would you be nervous about filling the shoes of Moses? Oh, you've got to be kidding me. I can't imagine having to take over that job. Can you imagine saying, with our few million guys here, we're going to go into the land of Canaan and we're going to wipe them out? That's pretty scary business. And that's what you see going on here. You don't have Joshua get to this point where, okay, time to turn over leadership, and Joshua go, oh, I'm really afraid. Wouldn't Caleb be a better leader? Let's let Caleb do it. Boy, I love reading about Caleb in Judges. I mean, Caleb just says he can go give everybody a whooping. I love him. He says he's 80 years old and he's just as strong as he was on the first day. And he'd just go take out those Canaanites. And, oh, I'd advise Joshua to be like, let's get Caleb in charge. Man, that guy's ready to go. Put in Caleb. Boy, he's set for action. And Caleb asked for the hill country where it was really difficult, where they had chariots of iron, where they could really put a hurting on you in war. Caleb said, give me that land. I'm like, wow, Caleb, you're crazy. I'm Joshua, I say, he's the man. You don't want me. Look at this guy. He's full of confidence in the Lord to be able to conquer. Why would you pick me? I'm afraid. Joshua doesn't do that. Joshua says, you've given me the task, I will perform it. Even though there was fear, even though he needed some encouragement, he was up for the task. And I think that's really important for godly leadership in the home, in our families, in the church, in society, is to recognize that you and I need to be able to serve God and make good, righteous, wise decisions even when we're afraid to, even when it's really difficult, even when that decision is extremely uncomfortable to make. And that's what you see Joshua doing, is that he does not shirk from the duty. He does not set aside the awesome responsibility that God had laid on him to say, you're going to lead my people. You are going to go into the land of Canaan and you will conquer the land. You will wipe it out because I'm with you. He raised up to the challenge and he felt the fear. And I don't think any of us should ignore that. I think anybody who is honest with their self realizes that when you start talking about doing things for God and making a stand and being faithful against the opposition, doing the things that God requires in righteousness, that is a scary proposition. To be what God wants each of us to be on a daily basis in society, amongst our friends and neighbors and co-workers, and showing ourselves to be that kind of godly person can sometimes be outright fearful. And I am impressed by Joshua, who said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, even though I may be afraid, even though it may be difficult, even though there's going to be some challenges ahead. He's willing to take the task. Who would, if you think about Joshua, would anybody volunteer for that job? The Israelites have wore Moses out. They wore that man out, complaining, murmuring and whining about food, water, about the desert, about all the things that they were having to do. They wore that man out. Who would want to raise their hand and say, ah, me next? That was not a glamorous position. But it was a responsibility that God wanted Joshua to take, and he took it. He was willing to do it. I want us to think about for ourselves that in being a leader that God wants us to be, and we have to recognize that God needs leaders. God needs our leadership in the home and in the family and out in our sphere of influence of people that we are involved in. That what that means is that you and I have to make the preparations now, though, to be that kind of leader. We are not going to wake up one day and be in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and be the leader that God wants us to be at that particular age. It's just going to suddenly wake up and fall on us. And there are things we have to do now. And that's what we see in Joshua, that there are preparations that need to be made now to be able to be a leader. And I think one of the reasons we often ask the question, why is it so difficult for churches today to be able to have leadership, to have elderships and things of that nature? And I think one is we have forgotten that it takes preparation to get there. It does not just fall upon us one day, that you and I have to work now to be able to be the leader that God wants us to be in the future. And that's what we see is that Joshua showed faithfulness from the very start. From the very beginning of his name appearing in the pages of the Old Testament, we see faithfulness to everything that Moses commanded him. He's not back talking to Moses and saying, we're crazy to go up against those Amalekites, and what does you raising your staff over your head have to do with us going into battle against these people? He doesn't do that. He's faithful to what God commanded. God says, let's go, then that's what they did. God said, we will stay away from that city, then that's what they did. Joshua was faithful to the commands of Moses, to the commands of God. And I think that's so important. Joshua did not see his youth as a license for rebellion. He didn't see, well, you know, this is the time to get it all figured out. And when you get older, that's when you settle down. You know, that's kind of our common mantra in society anymore is, you know, while you're young, it's okay to just go crazy. When you get older, you know, you can get yourself all straightened out later. And I want us to see, especially younger people, that's foolishness. Don't do that. Absolutely don't do that. Recognize the need for faithfulness now, to be a faithful servant now. Look around for opportunities to serve. Think about how you can serve now for this congregation. Think about from some of the more difficult things, like teaching your friends and talking to people about the Word of God and sharing with them your experience with Jesus Christ, to tell them about those things, to some of the things that you may not think about that are just as important. You can call upon people who have visited and come. You can send them cards and letters. You can follow up with people who are struggling. You can help those who are weak. You can help those who are sick. There are all sorts of situations that you can take advantage of to be a godly servant. And I encourage you to think about being a godly servant in your home. Honor toward your spouse. Honor toward your children. Honor toward your parents. Godly servant, working hard in the workplace, showing honor around your coworkers, that they look at you and realize there's something different about you. That, you know, I always loved that joke when I was out there and when I worked in the corporate world and also when I was working at gas stations. Are you working hard or hardly working? A real new joke, you know. And, you know, you are penalized if you're working hard. You have to be hardly working. You know, you're kind of a goofball if you're working hard. Work hard. Show yourself with godly leadership and godly integrity to work hard, serve well. And finally, to be faithful despite opposition, always do what's right. Always live for what's right, regardless of what our peers are doing. And most certainly anymore, think about always doing what's right, regardless of what our society declares to be acceptable. That we need to be people who are always godly, even though we may have one day like what happened there with Joshua, where his whole society wanted to do rebellion against God. Two people stood up and said, we will not. And we need to have that kind of integrity and that kind of faithfulness to say, we will not. We will serve God no matter what. We're going to encourage you this morning to think about serving God in faithfulness. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. And we already have one this morning who has decided to be baptized for the forgiveness of her sins. We're extending that invitation to you also. If you are ready to be faithful, to serve the living God with all of your heart, and be ready to follow Him wherever He goes, to submit your life to Jesus Christ, turn it over to Him. Give your life to Him. The hope of eternal life, the relationship with God, the promises of a great hereafter that each of us look forward to. Won't you follow Jesus Christ? Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Have those sins washed away. Won't you do that while we stand and while we sing?